In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Kempire is brought to you by
Washington, D.C., the Kempire After Dark, the Villain Era live tour is coming to your city on August 22nd. But before that, we're coming to Philly on July 10th at City Winery. Then we're going to Atlanta on August 5th. Then we're going to Washington, D.C., and this is going to be an all-new show, all-new hot topics, all-new reality TV conversation, and all kinds of amazing guests and surprises. Be sure to get your tickets today, and don't forget, we're coming back to New York City on September 12th. Go get your tickets. There's also a live stream option exclusively for the New York City show. More information will be available in the description.
You're listening to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network.
It's day 8 of the Sean Diddy Combs trial, and we have Dr. Dawn Hughes on the stand. And did Kid Cudi testify today at all? We have an update in regards to that. We also have to talk about these experts that the prosecution will be bringing in. And what does that mean? We're also hearing from our friends over at Fox 5 News when they spoke to a defense attorney and is explaining to us laymans who's winning so far in regards to this Sean Diddy Combs case. We're going to break all of that down in day 8 of our coverage of the Sean Diddy Combs trial. Welcome back to the Kempire Channel, your number one source for pop culture news and music, entertainment, reality TV, and so much more. As always, be sure to like this video, subscribe to the channel, and hit that notification bell so you never miss out on breaking news when we go live or when we upload. And if you missed it, the Kempire After Dark, the Villain Era live summer tour is coming to a city near you. Philadelphia, you're first up. You've been asking for this show, so show out and show up. Tickets are now on sale for our friends over at City Winery Philadelphia. Ticket information is available in the description. After that, we're coming to Atlanta. Atlanta, you've been asking for us to come back as well. Go get your tickets. Meet and greet tickets are also available for both shows. Both are part of the City Winery conglomerate, so get your tickets today for both shows. And just announced Washington, D.C. You too have been asking me to come back during the summertime. You show up and show out all the time, DMV. So go get your tickets today. We will be again at Union Stage. Tickets are now available as well. And last but definitely not least, my hometown, New York City. We will be bringing the Hot Topics back to Green Room 42, the Green Room 42. Tickets are now available, including live stream tickets and meet and greets. More information on the Kempire After Dark, the Villain Era live summer tour is available in the description. Head on over to the link tree and be sure to share and tell people, because not everyone's going to be watching this video that wants to come to the live show. Speaking of the live show, if for those that don't know what we do at these live shows, it's a mix. We could be talking about Diddy this week. We could be talking about whatever the hot topic is of the week. And of course, we will be including a reality TV conversation as well. Your questions and all kinds of things are spilled at these shows. Right, LA? We got a couple of Diddy party stories during my LA stop last year. Back to this. This is day 8 of the Sean Diddy Combs trial. Yesterday, we posted day 7. I just wanted to clear something up. At the end, there was a very abrupt ending. As you know, I'm churning out videos on a daily basis, not just about Diddy, but a bunch of different things. But Diddy has taken over the channel, and we're trying to give you updates. So, of course, there will be some tech issues. There were only about 8 minutes that were left to that recap of day 7. However, if you're subscribed to the Kempire podcast, then you got to hear everything, including some more additional content that I added when we uploaded that yesterday. So if you want the full day 7 wrap up, including extended version, subscribe to the Kempire podcast. And while you're there, do me a favor and give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. Now that we've got the administrative stuff out of the way, let's get into this Diddy trial, but not just talking about day 8. Like we did yesterday, I want to play for you. Shout out to our friends, because what we do over here, we always cite our sources. I will be citing the different sources that we're utilizing today, including Law and Crime here on YouTube and Fox 5 who are covering this. Lisa Evers, who's been covering hip hop news for years, since I was a kid. And she's still on the ground covering the Sean Diddy Combs trial. Before we get into that, I do want to talk about Dr. Dawn Hughes. Dr. Dawn Hughes, we will be talking about a lot today because she has taken the stand at this particular time of the recording. She's now been dismissed from the stand, but she did share some perspectives, and we're going to talk about that. But I wanted to play a clip from Law and Crime, and as always, I'll be citing my sources in the description so you can see the full video, where they have some experts talking about what this means for this case in regards to having people that are experts. So let me just play a clip for you.
Thing. Will the psychologist take the stand and be cross-examined? Also, could it be possible more than one doctor on the stand? So we believe Dr. Dawn Hughes is going to testify for the prosecution. She had testified in the Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial. She's not going to be able to testify about coercive control, but she'll be able to talk about coping strategies, why a victim stays with an abuser. Do you think so? So is she going to take the stand and will she be cross-examined?
And this is important. As we've said before, and we'll continue to have this conversation in regards to, we have to remember this is going to be decided by 12 jurors, 8 men, 4 women that are currently on this jury. They need to also understand, we can't assume that the jurors are going to understand what it means to be in an abusive relationship. So this is the job of the prosecution to bring it on home in regards to, why would Cassie stay? Why is Cassie a victim and not a co-conspirator?
And will there be more than one doctor?
Yes. So yes, I think that there will potentially be what's called a battle of the experts, right? You'll have two different doctors saying two different things. And I do for sure think she'll be cross-examined.
I will also say this. I'm actually looking forward to seeing what the defense doctor says, just because I think it's important, because I think a lot of people are already going to assume, okay, Cassie was the victim and Diddy's evil, but I'm interested to hear the conflicting point, just to hear it. And I'm like, well, I never thought of it that way. Maybe. We shall see.
I'll probably cross-examine her on the fact that she did not specifically analyze Cassie herself. These experts are able to testify about essentially ideas and studies and things that they've seen in their practice, but they don't specifically analyze or meet with the victim themselves. And so I would probably cross-examine her on that, the fact that she can't specifically opine as to what Cassie herself was actually thinking, because she never interviewed or analyzed Cassie herself. She wasn't there. She couldn't know. And then, of course, our favorite cross-examination questions, which are about financials, right? How much are you getting paid to be here? How much are you getting paid to say what you're saying? How much?
And literally, for those that have been following this case minute by minute, you see that is a question that is asked of Dr. Dawn Hughes today.
Prepped by the prosecution or on the other side by the defense, a jury definitely takes that into account. They don't love hired guns. And so it'll be interesting to see the battle of the experts when the doctors get up on the stand and see kind of who's credible and who's not.
I was on air the other day with Mark Garagos on News Nation, and I brought up Dr. Dawn Hughes' testimony. And he goes, wait a minute, wasn't she the one who testified for Amber Heard? Meaning like that didn't work out so well for her. I get it. I've got an update from court. This is from the prosecutor, again, questioning Sheree Hayes. Did you use drugs? Hayes responds, I'm not a marijuana smoker, but I did pull a Bill Clinton. I was handed a joint. Prosecutor asks, did you have performance issues? Hayes responds, having the woman's partner there, yes. The question then is, did the issues affect your pay? Objection. Well, what's that about?
I don't know.
So they're talking about Sheree Hayes, the Punisher, the male stripper and S worker that was intimate with Cassie multiple times, like 8 to 12 times, he said. And he also talked about his book yesterday. And that's a long title, y'all. That's probably the longest title of a book that I've ever seen in my entire life. I'm not going to even mention it here, because it did start to feel like he was promoting his book for this trial.
I'll tell you what.
We got another update from court. I'll give it to you. So the judge said overruled. Sheree Hayes says, I wasn't sure how they calculated it. One time Mr. Combs threw condoms on the couch next to us. I struggled. It was a failure. Prosecutor says, what happened? He says they went out. Did something. She came back and thanked me for privacy. I don't know. What is this about? I'm still confused. Will, I'll go to you.
I think that it sounds as if the questions have to do with what does the punisher need to do in order to get compensated is what I think the question is. I think it's irrelevant. And I think that that's why the objections may have been sustained, but I'm guessing.
Serena?
I think it's going towards the prosecution's ability to argue that Diddy controlled everything and that if people didn't do exactly what he wanted Diddy to do, then they would have suffered consequences. Again, the question of if you didn't perform this way, would it affect your pay goes to Diddy's control over his compensation, that if he didn't act the way that Diddy wanted him to act, that he wasn't going to get paid. He was going to lose his job and maybe worse. So I think that's what they're trying to establish.
Got a question from Philly PA Girl. Does anyone know how many women are on the jury? 4 women, 8 men. That's our account. Okay, got a question here from Abri Strauss. I'll throw it to you, Serena. If the prosecution offered Cassie a deal to turn evidence against Diddy or face charges for complicity, would the public be told?
Well, I think that the public would find that out just based on the cross-examination. I mean, if that's what ended up happening and it was disclosed, because it needs to be disclosed.
Because we did see that with the Diddy's former personal assistant who talked about that. He was asked about that on the stand by Diddy's defense team. And he says that he did receive a proffer. And based off of his testimony, didn't seem like he needed one. But you just never know. He's the only one that knows what he had to do for Diddy that may have been against the law and may have been an issue for him legally.
As a defense attorney, I would be questioning her about that. It makes you what's called an interested witness. It gives you a reason to testify a certain way, to testify for the prosecution in their favor. So I think we would probably have heard about the conditions, or at least some of the conditions of that, had she been cooperating. But I think it's a great question, because I also think the prosecution needed to make a decision and decide, is Cassie a victim or a co-conspirator?
Going back to a poll that we put up on YouTube, do you think Diddy's family's presence in court provides him a sense of confidence? Will?
And it should be noted that Diddy's family has been noticeably absent this week. As we already know, the twins ended up having their prom over the weekend, but their brothers and things like that were also there with the twins. So his side, according to people that have been inside the court, have said his side of the room has been noticeably empty, and not sure how that's going to affect the disappearance to the jury.
25% say yes. 34% say no. So having a victim's family there, taking this poll stats, it does have an effect on the defendant, right?
Oh, sure. I mean, usually whoever's in the audience has an effect on the defendant. If a defendant's entire family is there, that certainly helps. That certainly provides some sense of confidence. If the defendant's family is missing from a trial, it makes a person feel alone. Similarly, if a victim's entire family is there, that provides them with some confidence. And again, if none of the victim's family is there, they also feel alone. So I think it's those psychological components of a trial that have nothing to do with evidence, but really have to do with how individuals in the courtroom feel during the course of a trial. I mean, trials are difficult for everyone involved, for the defendants, for the witnesses, for the jurors. There's a whole psychological game that goes on that has nothing to do with what's happening on the witness stand.
And we talked about this. We talked about this when this began with the Diddy trial, with having his young daughters there. And I said, you're going to have your young daughters there here, like, listening to some of this testimony. I understood the strategy behind it. But at the same time, you're still a parent. And some of what people have been hearing is traumatizing to them. I can't imagine hearing this when it's your father and you don't have your mother to support you in this particular situation. And you may have seen that Misa Hylton has received a lot of backlash for showing up to court, and she had a walker. So she ended up releasing a statement saying that her son asked her to be there. And she says when her son calls, she shows up.
I got a question from Chris Bono. I'll go to you, Will. Could too many expert witnesses be called that will backfire for the prosecution?
I thought this was an important question because we are going to be talking about the expert, Dr. Dawn Hughes, a lot in today's recap.
Much for the jury to want to follow. Interesting question.
too many experts?
I think the answer is yes. I think, as you know, Serena said before, the prosecution really needs to streamline their case. And you can have expert witnesses testify about just about anything and just about everything. And at the end of the day, at some point, a jury tunes that out. So mm-hmm. you hit the high points with the expert witnesses. I agree. They're going to need to bring in somebody to testify as to the delayed disclosure. They may bring in someone to testify as to what used to be called battered women syndrome, to talk about why Cassie stayed in this very abusive relationship. But other than that, I think that they need to move on. I think it'd be a mistake to call too many expert witnesses. It always is.
I got one more question for you, Serena. It's about an update from court. So the prosecutor asks Mr. Hayes, what did you think would happen next? Hayes responds, I was worried I would not be used again. I hadn't done my job. He has said, I want to see you basically having sex with Cassie, and I couldn't. He was asked, are you writing a book? Hayes responds, yes, a self-help book about my ED. It's advice. In your book, do you write about your time with Mr. Combs and Ms. Ventura? Yes, I call them a married well.
I also don't want to assume that you guys know what ED is. He's talking about erectile dysfunction.
How long is it? 6 pages out of 186. I sensationalize it. I wanted it to be enjoyable. Highs and lows. What's that about, Serena?
Prior inconsistent statements. There's always a risk if you say anything about a case that you will eventually be testifying in, and that's somehow documented, whether it's in a deposition, in a book, online, it will be saved and it will be used against you during your testimony at trial if it cuts against what your testimony is all about. And so I think possibly the questioning has to be about, well, you know, you didn't say this or you did say that, and today you're saying it this way, but in your book you said it that way. And now he's left trying to defend his words in his book, either to say, look, they were true, but this is also true. Or, as you mentioned, Jesse, that he kind of exaggerated certain things in order to make it an enjoyable book. And it's a work of fiction.
So here's the thing, too. Looking back at Sheree Hayes, the Punisher, the male stripper and S worker that slept with Sean, well, that slept with Cassie in front of Sean Diddy Combs and was part of these freak-offs. Some people say that his testimony really benefited the defense. Some might say, no, the prosecution just wanted him to confirm certain specific details of showing that Diddy had control. But some might say the defense benefited here because he also says Cassie didn't seem like she was not enjoying herself, that she didn't have control. Again, we don't know how the jury took all this testimony. Some other things that I wanted to talk about today in our recap before we get to the day's events of day 8 of the Sean Diddy Combs trial was another video from our friends over at Fox 5. They've also been handling this coverage really great, but I wanted to hear a defense attorney talk about this because I think it's important. And as I've said before, every attorney is going to have a different perspective on what's playing out. However, I liked his take because I felt as if he was fair, and he has said what we have all been saying since we've been covering the Sean Diddy Combs trial, is that it's too soon to say anyway that anyone's winning or is doing a better job. So let's say, and as always, I will be citing my sources in the description because that's what we do here. So let's get into this.
Hey, everybody. I'm Lisa Evers, Fox 5 news reporter. I'm
Shout
here
out to Lisa
outside
Evers.
Federal court because we're getting a lot of questions, and we had to turn to one of the top lawyers in the New York City area who's actually done cases in these courtrooms and find out what everybody wants to know. Joining me right now is attorney, criminal defense attorney and managing partner of Hamilton Clark, Philip Hamilton. Phil, great to have you with us.
Always great to be with you, Lisa.
Thank you so much. One of the big questions I keep getting asked everywhere I am is, can Diddy go free? How do you answer that?
Anything is possible. Diddy could potentially go free, but if he's going to go free, the defense is going to have to continue to hammer upon the fact that this case has more to do with domestic violence than, in fact, federal trafficking. And if the defense can hit that home to the jury every day throughout the course of tomorrow through the rest of the trial, he might have a chance to go free. But it's going to be a very nuanced, complicated endeavor for the defense. Not easy, very much so an uphill battle.
Okay, but you're saying it's not easy for them, but a lot of people are saying all they're doing is proving domestic violence. What do they need to do? What does the prosecution need to do in order to prove sex trafficking?
Well, in order to prove sex trafficking, the prosecution has to focus on a few key elements: coercion, force, manipulation, defrauding. To the extent that they can show those elements, they can build their case and make a case for trafficking. So when we look at specifically the testimony that's come through from Ms. Cassie Ventura, of course, we heard a lot about force, right? And whereas a layperson might look at that testimony and say, hey, what does this have to do with sex trafficking? This has more to do with domestic violence. Well, it's a critical element because what we do have testimony.
And I like the fact that it says any layperson, meaning that you're not an attorney. So that's important to know. There are a lot of people, a lot of different platforms that are sharing their personal opinions. We have to also keep in mind their experience in this, their expertise in this. Do they have any of that?
About both from Ms. Ventura and ultimately some of the witnesses that testified today was that there was commercial sex, right? And to the extent that you have coercion.
Meaning the sex workers that they hired for these freak-offs.
Exactly. So like once you combine that element with the force, with the coercion, with the drugs, you're now starting to make a recipe for sex trafficking. Even if it isn't necessarily the strongest case, it's certainly not one that they can't prove.
So you think that the prosecution has enough to prove this?
As of right now, no. But if they continue building their pieces element by element, block by block, they may. We'll have to see ultimately where things are by the end of the case, how cross-examination goes.
So that explains why a lot of people, lay people, that feel as if the prosecution has not proven their case. However, I've spoken to several different attorneys that have said, well, no, pay attention to what the prosecution is doing. The Southern District of New York, when we talk about federal sectors, is one of the best, 95, 96, sometimes 98% conviction rate with them. What he's saying here, pay attention to what they're building. This is only day eight. We still have 6+ weeks of this.
With respect to a number of the remaining witnesses, but they are starting. We are only a few days in.
No, we definitely are. And then let me ask you about the RICO, the racketeering. How do you...
This is the most important detail for us to all pay. I think by the end of this case, if you weren't following the YSL case, and I wasn't, I mean, I was following, but not chapter and verse, because a lot of people have their own perspectives on what RICO is. And RICO has a history that was meant for the mob. This is what based back in the 70s when these laws were established.
Racketeering in this whole thing, because people are saying the main witness that they've seen is Cassie. Are they saying, is the government saying that Cassie was being trafficked by Diddy? And what about the racketeering? Explain that for us.
So it's not so much Cassie individually, right? If that was the case, then it really wouldn't be going on at this courthouse. It'd be going on at the state courthouse right across the street.
Just 100 Center Street.
100 Center Street, a typical domestic violence charge, which, based on the testimony we've heard thus far, he'd be guilty of in the state case. In this courthouse, Cassie is just simply one element upon many that the government is going to have to bring in to prove. So I think in this particular instance, it's not so much about the individual acts of violence as against her, as more as we get more of the puzzle pieces in and we get the bigger picture. And I think the bigger picture with respect to the enterprise that they're trying to prove is not much different than what we saw in the R. Kelly case, right? Where you essentially, that's the...
This is why I had to share this video with you, because of course, everyone is associating the R. Kelly of it all, but he's saying that R. Kelly's case is a legal precedent for this particular case.
For this matter, frankly, the R. Kelly case, in terms of proving an enterprise with Diddy, with his music company, and with using those apparatuses to satisfy his sexual desires.
So, for example, if they have, as we've heard, drivers for his company that
Correct.
Were hired, bodyguards were involved in transporting any of these sex workers or involved in any booking flights for them, which they testified, they were very methodical in getting Cassie to testify about this sex worker or this individual was flown from this city to that city
right.
and flown here and flown there and naming the actual specific cities. Is that part of a RICO?
That's part of them trying to create the enterprise that Sean Combs was heading. And when I say that precedentially, a lot of that stands from the R. Kelly case, it's because when he tried to appeal at the Second Circuit right next door to this building, the Second Circuit held that no, in fact, what R. Kelly was doing was running an enterprise and that legally that could stand. The prosecution here is just collaterally and very much so in a parallel fashion doing the same thing. They're essentially saying that all those people that Diddy was using to allegedly bring people across state lines and the like is ultimately what manifests his intent to both sex trafficking, why he's guilty of it.
Okay, but what about the drug use? Because that's one thing that's different from the R. Kelly case. Yes, there was alleged drug use and alcohol there, but this is on a whole different level from what we've been hearing in some of the testimony. The amount of drugs, the type of drugs, the different cities. What role is that going to play in terms of the government proving these charges, and what kind of problems does it present for Diddy's defense team?
Two particular problems. One for Diddy's defense team. It's critically important to the coercion element, because to the extent that these people are not in their right minds, to the extent that they are high, to the extent that they can't make decisions on their own, it's then easier to coerce them into an act, a commercial sex act, that they may not otherwise have participated in. However, the weight of that is given by the jury in terms of looking at that evidence. That's going to be on the jury to decide. But for what the prosecution has to prove, that's one critical element. I think the second critical element with respect to the drug use is the fact that you have a lot of this coming across state lines, the fact that these are predicate other criminal acts that help to make out the RICO. Because with the RICO, to your point, you can't just look at the individual acts of domestic violence. When you're looking at the drug possession, when you're looking at the trafficking of the narcotics, that also is serving as a predicate act for the potential RICO enterprise. Very complicated, but at the end of the day, definitely trying to make the point that the government is putting their building blocks together to make their case.
So you should. Wow. So you would advise people at this point, I mean, it's too early to tell, basically? Is that what you're saying?
It's too early to tell, but what they are putting into place are, number one, the elements, at least the beginning portions of the recipe that they need to make in order to prove their case. But secondly, they're making Diddy look really bad. And if there's going to be a situation where you have a couple of holdouts at the end of the case, how much empathy are they going to be able to show Diddy to continue to hold out, that he potentially gets a mistrial or he gets them to convince other jurors to come over to his side? The worse he looks, the worse it is for him potentially in deliberations. But I repeat, not impossible.
And then what about in terms of the verdict? What needs to happen? There needs to be a unanimous.
Pay attention to this, because, again, I think a lot of us are laymen when it comes to how this works at a federal level, because there are differences, because a lot of people are still saying, why aren't there cameras and audio in this trial? It's a federal trial. That is what they do. That's what they've always done.
Verdict or what? Explain that for us.
There needs to be a unanimous verdict on each count in order for him to be found guilty of each count. If there's one single holdout, that could be enough for a mistrial to be declared and either for the government to have to represent their case or potentially work out a plea negotiation with him or do whatever it is that they're going to do at that moment, but it only takes one juror.
So the prosecution basically has to prove every single point for those three charges that he's facing, and the defense just has to get one juror that has serious doubts.
One juror that has serious doubts, that has the gravity with which to hold out.
And then, Phil, how important is the issue of consent in this? Because there was testimony today with Sheree Hayes, a.k.a. the Punisher, the male exotic dancer who was also a sex worker, and he was describing how Cassie seemed to enjoy having sex with him, that she was seemed to be a willing partner, that he was telling by her body language. And some people were surprised. I was surprised because he was a prosecution witness, but that's something that would seem to help the defense.
No, in fact, a very good colleague of mine, Xavier Donaldson, cross-examined the Punisher, so to speak, today. And I think he did a fantastic job in laying out everything that you just said. Because for the lay public, a lot of people are looking at Cassie's testimony and saying, hey, it seems to us, in many respects, you were a willing participant,
right,
that you were okay with this, that you went along with this for years. And for the defense, that's a fantastically great point and one that they're going to continue to try to hammer home. But on the other side of things, the fact remains is that she also has provided testimony that builds upon the prosecution's case of the coercion, because to the extent that she is being drugged and to the extent that she is trying to say no.
Cassie says this in her testimony, the amount of drugs that she took to numb herself because of the frequency and the amount of freak-offs that were happening.
You're being beaten back into it, or she is under the influence and can't really make a consensual, voluntary decision to participate or not. That's a problem for Diddy, and that's a problem for the defense team.
So what should we be watching in the days and weeks ahead? There's talk that Kid Cudi maybe come to the stand very soon. There's also talk about people who were in other freak-offs, because that's the other question I'm getting. A lot of people are saying, well, they're just talking about these freak-offs as if it's just Diddy, Cassie, and a sex worker,
right.
But there were always stories and rumors about them being bigger parties and things of that nature. What about that?
Well, let's just start with Kid Cudi, because I think therein, when I was just talking earlier about the predicate acts, when we think about the car explosion, you know, dealing with an arson, that also is another element that's like coming into play when you talk about the RICO and when you talk about some of the issues that Diddy has with respect to that issue, right? I think in regards to other witnesses, what we need to be looking for, is our people saying not just that I was in a one-on-one intimate relationship with Diddy the way that Cassie was, but are they saying that I also was forced into doing something that I didn't want to do, or I was coerced into attending one of these parties, one of these freak-offs, and doing something I didn't want to do? I'm going to have to hear how that plays out. As surface level as that sounds as I say it, I'm going to have to hear how it plays out, and then as we can continue to have discussions about how's the case looking, I can give more analysis on that end. But that's what I'm looking to hear as we kind of move forward from today.
And it's way too soon. That's one of the biggest things that I got from this, is that it's just way too soon to make any sort of decision on how the jury is going to view all of this. Again, this is just the beginning of the Sean Diddy Combs trial. Today is only day 8 of the trial. One of the things, as I mentioned to you yesterday in day 7 of our coverage of the Diddy trial, we mentioned that the feds have released a lot of information, including photos of some of the S workers that Cassie and Diddy enlisted for their freak-offs. And they also released, because they had one of the Homeland Security agents testify yesterday, and they shared some of what was discovered. Our friends over at TMZ say the federal prosecutors just dropped another document dump of evidence presented in court at the Diddy S trafficking and racketeering trial. And the pics give us a window into the music mogul's lavish and kinky lifestyle on Miami's Star Island. This is just in the Miami one. I don't know if they found anything in the LA raid. And I believe there was a raid of one of his places here in New York City. And what you can see, and look, and I've said this yesterday, I'm going to say it again, I don't care about Diddy and his escapades or how kinky he may be. We can all have a kiki and joke about that. We have bigger issues here. But some of the things that were discovered were the amount of drugs, burner phones. They found guns with the serial number scratched off, again, which is a federal offense. But yeah, in regards to his lifestyle, yeah, there were all kinds of kinky toys and high heels for, like, big high heels for women, lingerie for women, and all kinds of different things. I'll continue just so you have an idea of what TMZ is reporting. They says, as you know, Diddy lived in a huge mansion on Star Island, and Homeland Security investigators Gerard Gannon testified Tuesday that he was the head of the operation that conducted a raid on the property in March of 2024. Gannon told the court the feds confiscated a loaded GUNs, S toys, and bottles of lubricant. I'm triggered now in covering this story. I'm triggered now every time I see a bottle of baby oil, because the copious amounts of baby oil and Astroglide, I'm just like, oh my God, like, why do you need so much? But that might stem from something else. And maybe in this trial, we'll have a better understanding why baby oil. Not that it's that important, but I'm sure some of the jurors are probably thinking, why baby oil? As we already know, for those that may have missed it, but it has been discussed, Cassie did say on the stand that the rumors and the conspiracy theories that the baby oil had something in it, she said no. Now the feds have publicly released a mountain of photos showing exactly what the item the feds recovered from Diddy's sprawling estate, which, by the way, is a pretty darn high end. They said, check out the snaps. They say, we see boxes of platform heels, packages of crotchless body stockings, knee highs, as well as rope and handcuffs. They said they found all kinds of different toys, unit near Vaseline, Astroglide, lube, plus the feds found strawberry and green apple flavored, all kinds of just like candy toys, just all kinds of things. They said there are plenty of also drugs, including Golden Teacher magic mushroom pill capsules, various other pills, marijuana, a white powdery substance contained in a Gucci bag. Diddy also had packets of Vital Honey VIP, a Malaysian supplement for ED, which we've already talked about, similar to Cialis. The photos also show what appears to be an Uzi. That's what stood out. So I was like, why do you need such big guns? And parts from a rifle, along with a handgun and hollow point bullets. And they said that there's so much more. If you want to see everything that was uncovered in this case yesterday and from the raid of Diddy's home, you can see that on TMZ. All right, so let's get into the day's events of the Sean Diddy Combs trial. Again, shout out to our friends over at NBC News that are helping us unpack and remind us of what happened yesterday. They said day 8 of the testimony in Combs trial, when jurors take their seats in the U.S. District Court, Judge Aaron Subramanian gaveled court back into session this morning. The testimony of a federal agent who organized searches of Sean Diddy Combs' Miami properties will continue. The Homeland Security Investigation Special Agent Gerard Gannon, who led searches of Combs' properties in Miami, was on the witness stand late yesterday afternoon. One of the things, because I told you, I'm not just relying on NBC News. I'm watching all kinds of different stories. They said normally, and I've seen this before, unfortunately, I've seen different police raids, and normally they are in the wee hours of the morning. They did this particular one midday in the hopes, because of the sprawling property, this is like a 20,000 square foot property. They said because of how huge this was and the huge undertaking that this would be, and they were concerned that, as you can see, there were weaponry that were located at this Miami home. They did it midday for the hopes that more than likely people would not be home, from what I saw. He says he walked the jurors through the complicated process of executing search warrants, the music mogul's home, defined all the things that we just discussed in regards to what they found, including baby oil and Astroglide. Okay. So as you know, yesterday, Cassie Ventura's mother testified in the trial. Regina Ventura, the mother of Sean Combs, former girlfriend Cassie Ventura, testified. She took pictures of bruises on her daughter. The jury also heard from Combs' former assistant and an S worker who said he participated in so-called freak-offs. You also may recall, in regards to Regina Ventura's examination yesterday, the defense decided that they had no questions for her. And some speculate that was not a good look for Sean Diddy Combs. Again, I think it's too early to say yay or nay in regards to that. So everyone was expecting that Kid Cudi was to testify today. What we found out now is that he won't. But at the time, they said rapper Kid Cudi and forensic psychologist Dawn Hughes are expected to take the witness stand today. The artist, whose real name is Scott Mascuti, was mentioned several times in testimony yesterday. I just want to paint a picture for you. Kid Cudi and Cassie apparently had maybe a month of a relationship. Keep in mind, there were rumors that Sean Diddy Combs blew up his car. Based on what we're hearing, that is true. That did happen. Can you imagine dating someone for a month? You have your car blown up, maybe still people bothering you during around that time. 15 years later, now the feds are calling you to testify. Like, I'm like, damn, girl, like, this was more trouble than it was even worth. Like, what is going on? Be mindful of who you decide to date and get involved with. Combs became infuriated when he learned that his then-girlfriend, Cassie Ventura, had been spending time with Kid Cudi, her mother said. That prompted Combs to demand $20,000 from Ventura's mother for one of the tapes, because at the time, the mother only thought there was one that he had of the daughter. What we found out is that 4 days later, Diddy returned to...
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
A healthy life starts with great sleep. Wake refreshed with Avocado's GOTS certified organic green mattress, delivering breathable, back-loving support, natural materials from Avocado's own sustainable wool and latex farms, easy financing, a 1-year sleep trial, and deep, restorative slumbers. Organic sleep awaits at avocadomattress.com.
The best piece of financial advice I've ever received is to pay yourself first. That's why now with every paycheck I receive, I start by putting a little bit away for those rainy days. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if all you've got is spare change. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns recommends a diversified portfolio that can help you weather all of the market's ups and downs. Using Acorns, before I knew it, I had a couple thousand dollars in a little nest egg account. Sign up now and join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $25 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/darkparanormal or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/darkparanormal.
$20,000. But again, that could be a way of showing him trying to show his dominance, his power, and his control over Cassie. So NBC gives us a recap of yesterday. I won't go through any of that just because we went through it yesterday. They also let us know that when the attorneys are arriving, they're breaking it down for us. As I said before, for those that don't know who Kid Cudi is, because some of you that are, we have a whole range of people that watch this channel, and some of you really do not know who Kid Cudi is. Kid Cudi has a particular fan base. Yes, he's a hip hop artist, but he also has a particular fan base, and I know some of you might not even know who he is, okay? And I'm hopeful for Kid Cudi and his mental health because he's been very open about his mental health, and I can't imagine that this has been good leading up to like, oh God, I have to go testify. I have to be in this court and be a part of this. I'm sending up a little prayer for Kid Cudi and his mental health during this. So they let us know, for the folks that don't know who Kid Cudi is, he is a 41-year-old Grammy-winning rapper and singer whose real name is Scott Mascuti. He's known for his hit songs Day and Night and Pursuit of Happiness. Cassie Ventura testified last week that Combs kicked her in the back at his house after finding out that she was cheating on him with Kid Cudi in 2011. In her lawsuit filed in 2023, Ventura said that Combs allegedly told her during Paris Fashion Week in 2012 that he was going to blow up Kid Cudi's car after finding out about the affair. Around that time, Cudi's car exploded in his driveway, the suit claimed. Dawn Hughes, a forensic psychologist, and is expected to testify today. She already has testified. She's already been dismissed from the stand at the time of this recording. All right, so let's get into this. So items found in Combs' home, as we mentioned before, Gerard Gannon is back on the stand and was questioned about items seized from one of the master closets during a raid of Combs' Miami home last year. He described seizing a pair of red pump high heels and discovering cell phones stuffed inside a Balenciaga boot. They show it. It looks like a croc. You know those Balenciaga boots that look like a croc? So inside the closet was also a Gucci bag that contained white residue that tested positive for ketamine and cocaine. That bag also contained smaller bags of different colored pills, including some stamped with a Tesla symbol that tested positive for MDMA and Xanax. So he was just doing all of these. Like, I don't know how he functioned. So a crystal rock-like substance and pills with the main ingredient of magic mushrooms were found in Combs' Miami home, the witness said. The crystal rock-like substance was discovered inside a wooden box marked Puffy, Gannon said. Investigators in the master bathroom also came upon a plastic bag of pills that would eventually test positive for the main ingredient of a hallucinogenic mushroom. Authorities also found a bin containing 25 bottles of baby oil, 31 bottles of Astroglide lubricant, and a rubber duck in a closet in a hallway between the master bedroom and the master closet of Diddy's Miami home. So they also show a photo of the government's exhibit showing all of this stuff. Didn't they say there were like 1,000 bottles, maybe between all the different locations? They had like 1,000 bottles of baby oil. Lord. So in the guest house of Diddy's Miami. Sidebar. Can I make a little joke? I will. So when everyone was running during the pandemic to go get toilet paper, Diddy was running to get baby oil.
My God, today.
Ladies.
I might be making a joke, but I might not be telling a lie. In the guest house of Diddy's Miami property, a caliber handgun was found in a red suitcase at the entrance to the guard shack area. A photo of a magazine and bullets in a baggie were displayed in court as well. Grammy-winning rapper Kid Cudi will not testify today, prosecutors said. The 41-year-old artist had originally been scheduled to take the stand, late this afternoon with testimony spilling into tomorrow. But now it looks like Kid Cudi won't begin his direct examination by federal prosecutors until tomorrow at the earliest. Combs' team suggested that the number of GUNs, including those with serial numbers removed, found his Miami home, are not that significant or as dangerous as they appear. They seem pretty dangerous when I was looking at them. Under cross-examination by defense lawyer Tenney Garagos, Gannon agreed that many of the firearms were wrapped up in tape, not loaded, and thus inoperable. Gannon also agreed with Garagos that guns without serial numbers could still be linked to owners by fingerprints, DNA, hair, and fiber. But why were the serial numbers scratched off? Are they connected to something else? Who knows? Special agent, but this is their job. The defense has to say, yeah, the serial numbers might not be there, and you could still figure out who's used them. Okay, fair defense. I'm on your side with that one, maybe. Special agent Gerard Gannon has wrapped up his testimony and left the stand. Prosecutors now have called Don Hughes, a clinical and forensic psychologist, to the stand. Hughes is dressed in a cream-colored suit. So they said that Combs' trial isn't the first time Don Hughes has played a role in dramatic legal sagas at the nexus of celebrity and power in the post-Me Too era. In recent years, Dr. Don Hughes has taken the witness stand in other high-profile sexual misconduct trials that drew national attention. When the NXIVM sex cult leader, Keith Raniere, which I don't know if you've seen the documentary on HBO Max, it's actually pretty interesting, went on trial in 2019, Hughes was on hand to explain to jurors how serial sexual abusers gaslight their victims. 2 years later, Hughes testified at R. Kelly's federal trial, telling jurors that the R&B singer had subjected victims to psychological entrapment. Raniere was found guilty of racketeering, S trafficking, and possession of child porn. R. Kelly was convicted in 2021 on 1 count of racketeering and 8 counts of violating the Mann Act, a law that bars transporting people across state lines for any immoral purpose. Hughes reached a new level of national awareness after testifying at the Johnny Depp Amber Heard defamation trial. Heard ultimately lost the defamation case, and we already told you she was testifying in defense of Amber Heard. But based off of her testimony and those other high-profile cases, those individuals ended up in jail and are currently in jail. So they say that victims of DV often stay with their abusers as they feel like there are no better options, Dr. Hughes said. These victims who stay in these toxic relationships tend to fall into 3 categories because they feel trapped, still feel a bond to their abuser, and believe that the act of leaving the relationship is far too complex to achieve, the psychologist testified. Because you feel trapped. Cassie said this to the assistant. She probably said this to other people. She said this on the stand. He controlled every aspect of her life. He paid for her apartment, her car. He literally had her in a contractual agreement. She was an employee. 10 albums she was contractually obligated to him. And a lot of people that are in the music business have said for years, a lot of times it does feel, Michael Jackson said that you feel like you're a slave to these record labels. So can you imagine having also an intimate relationship with your boss? So she pointed out, feeling trapped, still feel a bond to your abuser because they've set you up in a way where now they've alienated you from your friends and family as well. And now you feel like this is what love is supposed to be. It's also important to note, do you remember how you felt? I'm sure if you look at your diaries right now and you look at some of the things that you said about your then boyfriend or girlfriend, you're probably like, who the hell was that? Cassie was 19 when she met Sean Diddy Combs. When she got into a relationship with him, she was like 21. What was your mentality at 21? There's a lot of growth that happens between ages 19, 21, 22, 23. There's a lot of growth. Some of y'all still not growing. 40-something to 50-something. But I'm not judging. I'm putting things in perspective. So because they feel trapped, still feel a bond to their abuser, and believe that the act of leaving the relationship is far too complex to achieve. Can you imagine the complexities of leaving a Sean Diddy Combs who wields power, who we told you yesterday gave his assistant a lie detector test because He knew a former FBI agent. He's gotten away with so many things over the years. Hughes' testimony could be key in the prosecution's effort to fight the defense narrative that women such as Combs' former girlfriend, Cassie Ventura, could have left their 11-year relationship. And when we say relationship, we're not just talking about a sexual relationship. We're talking about a business relationship, too. Because even if she left him in that way, in a personal way, she's still contractually obligated to him. So they said the DV victims fall prey to psychological, sexual, and emotional abuse, as well as financial dependence, making it all that harder for them to fight back or cut themselves loose, Hughes said. Victims suffering from psychological abuse walk on eggshells and focus on how to stay safe in the moment rather than a big picture solution, such as exiting a toxic relationship, according to Hughes. Sexual abuse can bring shame and humiliation, which leads victims to worry about keeping this harm private, which again keeps them from seeking an ultimate end to a bad relationship, she said. The price of emotional abuse leads victims to simply believe they're not worthy of anything more, thus draining them of the energy or the motivation to get help. Hughes described financial dependence as, quote, very important, as it deprives the victim of the material resources needed to leave an abusive relationship. Let's paint the picture again for Cassie Ventura. He paid for her apartment, her car, every aspect of her life. This is also your boss. You're also starting to be alienated from everyone around you, your friends, your family. Your best friend was just harmed by your boyfriend, and now she's also left you. These are all aspects to consider and to think about. And again, we're talking about Sean Diddy Combs. Think about the level of success and power and influence and how celebrated he still is in this community. They said that the price of emotional abuse leads victims to simply believe they're not worthy of anything more, thus draining them of the energy or motivation to get help. Hughes described financial dependence as very important, as it deprives a victim of material resources needed to leave an abusive relationship. She said, if you don't have money, you are left with a feeling, where am I going to go? Abuse victims will sometimes delay disclosing what they've been through, fearing fallout such as shame or not being believed. You see it all the time. We've seen so many different stories in the last few weeks in regards to DV situation, Keke Palmer. We were talking about Sky Jackson this week. She just filed charges against her baby's father. We were just talking about Halle Bailey and DDG. And you see what those comments say. That's why abuse will likely first be disclosed to a very close friend or loved one who'd be viewed by victims as the most trusting ear, according to her. And the trauma itself can impact a victim's memory, Hughes said. As combat veterans, child sexual abuse victims, and others have shown a propensity for failing to recall exact details as stress narrows attention. These are very important. This is the prosecution's witness, Dr. Hughes. So this is important to note. They said the trauma itself can impact a victim's memory. Literally, I was just answering a question in the comment section from yesterday's video about trauma and how everyone responds very differently to trauma. You could all be raised in the same household and you experience the same trauma, but all of you will react very differently. And the trauma itself can impact a victim's memory, Hughes said. As combat veterans, child sexual abuse victims, and others have shown a propensity for failing to recall exact details as stress narrows attention. We were just talking about that yesterday when we were talking about Dawn Richard's testimony. Some people were like, well, the defense were saying, your story is inconsistent. There were details that you, in multiple interviews that you did with the prosecution, and you didn't mention some of these details. Like with the whole frying pan and the egg situation, that incident. Did it hit Cassie? Did it hit a wall? In that moment, you're not expecting to remember these details for testifying later. Just saying. Government witness George Kaplan, a former assistant of Combs, entered court after Hughes wrapped up saying he was there after receiving a subpoena. Earlier in the day, there were concerns over whether he'd plead the Fifth Amendment and not testify. Prosecutors offered a grant to grant him immunity if he answered questions, but warned that this protection does not cover perjury. After Kaplan's, can you imagine the things that some of these Diddy assistants have had to do? Probably clearly breaking the law. We saw that one of his assistants yesterday said that Diddy wanted him to make a false police report about a fight that he had with his chef. After Kaplan's attorney reviewed the legal document, the judge executed Kaplan's immunity, and Kaplan will testify later today. The forensic psychologist Hughes returned to the witness stand to continue her testimony. The expert on trauma and abuse could be key to prosecutors who want to show how Combs allegedly victimized and controlled women, even if they didn't leave their toxic relationships with the music mogul. Okay, so before we move on, I did want to highlight some of the in-court reporting that we're getting from our friends over in Inner City Press. They have been covering this case along with a bunch of other high-profile cases over the last few years. As always, what we do here, we cite our sources. I'll actually also post a link to his Twitter feed, his X feed, in the description of this video for those that want a transcript or full report of the day. Again, I say transcript, but I don't mean that literally, because a transcript will give you the literal words. There are some errors. A lot of it's paraphrasing as well in regards to what people are saying in court. But I wanted to talk about Dr. Dawn Hughes's statements, some of the statements, because I think it's important for our audience trying to understand cycles of abuse and from an expert. And something that we mentioned earlier on in this video, what would come up in regards to how much were you paid? Did you walk the prosecution through what to ask during the trial? Things like that. So I just want to give you a little bit of that. I'm not going to go through all of it again, because this is hours and hours of court proceedings. So Inner City Press writes this in regards to this. The prosecution asked the question, how many times have you testified in court? Dr. Hughes responds, 60 or 65. In the Southern District of New York, the Eastern District of New York, and the Northern District, also New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, and Virginia. They said, we offer Dr. Hughes as an expert. Defense, no objection. So prosecution says, what do you anticipate covering? Dr. Yu says, why victims stay, memory. AUSA says, have you been retained by the government? Dr. Yu says, yes. The prosecution says, what is your hourly rate? $600. I should have finished college. And when I say finished, I should have finished the graduate program. Damn. All right. It got my doctorate. She says $600, $6,000 for the day in court. Okay. AUSA says, why do victims stay? Dr. Yu says, there are psychological bonds and the psychological consequences of the abuse. AUSA says, what are the levels of fear? Dr. Yu says, it ranges from physical violence to butterflies. Violence doesn't have to happen all the time. That's important. AUSA says, what is psychological violence? Dr. Yu says, intimidation, throwing things, telling you what you can do and where you can go. Defense, objection. Judge, hold on. I'm going to strike that last answer, the judge says. AUSA Steiner says, what can be the role of sexual abuse? Dr. Yu says, it puts the victim in significant psychological fear. AUSA says, why does it prevent leaving? Dr. Yu says, shame, degradation, they don't want to think about it. AUSA says, what is emotional abuse? Dr. Yu says, putting down our partner, feeling like a piece of crap. AUSA says, what about financial dependence? Dr. Yu says, the abuse controls housing and transportation. Cassie has said this in her testimony. Taking away her laptop. Objection, judge says, sustained. The prosecution says, are you familiar with love bombing? Dr. Yu says, that honeymoon phase, the abuser showers her with gifts and affection to get her back. AUSA says, does the attempt to leave happen over time? Dr. Yu says, yes, it takes multiple attempts. AUSA says, which is the most common coping mechanism? Dr. Yu says, trying to work it out because of the trauma bond. You don't want to lose your partner. Prosecution says, personal coping mechanisms. How does placating or appeasing work. Dr. Yu says, we're trying to avoid abuse. AOS says, what is minimization? Dr. Yu says, the victim says, maybe they had a bad day at work. Maybe they were intoxicated. It's a way to stay in the relationship, but it increases their risk. It's not a long-term strategy. It gets from one assaultive episode to the next. It also makes me wonder the reason why Diddy, because a lot of people might say Diddy could have any woman in the world. Why Cassie? And I think, first of all, he got involved with her at a very young age. He's molded her. He's literally, the assistant said that he said that Cassie was very moldable. And she seemed to probably be the only one that, who knows? We can't confirm. Yes, we can possibly assume that Diddy abused his exes, but maybe a lot of them were not willing to do the things that Cassie was willing to do when it comes to doing these freak-offs. Maybe they were like, I'm not doing that. And Cassie was the only one, because she was, quote, moldable, that continued in this cycle of abuse, even though she didn't want to do it. AUSA says, what about the power relation? Dr. Yu says, a person can have power as a principal of a school. The victim asks, who is going to believe me? AUSA says, when does the victim finally speak? Dr. Yu says, in a safe environment or after psychological help. AUSA says, what type of language do victims use when they first speak of it? Dr. Yu says, they minimize, they are piecemeal. They remember the chipping paint on the ceiling, the smell of alcohol, and the perpetrator's breath. So they take a sidebar, then cross-examination. Okay. So Combs is a lawyer, says, your clients, you observe them closely. Their cognitive style, Dr. Yu says, yes. Combs' attorney says, people don't fit into boxes, right? Dr. Yu says, there are categories. Box says, but you have to listen to particular individuals, right? Dr. Hughes, I'm not divorced from my training. Combs' attorney, because they're trying to say, well, you've never had Cassie as a patient. You've never had Diddy as a patient. So they're trying to chip away at her credibility. When you do forensic work, you want a lot of sources of information, right? Dr. Hughes says, if it's relevant. The attorney for Diddy says, you look at police reports, witness reports, and the like, correct? Dr. Yu says, correct. Diddy's attorney says, you're familiar with malingering? Dr. Yu says, I am. Diddy's attorney says, people can fabricate emotional responses, correct? Dr. Yu says, they can. The judge says, Mr. Bach, should we break here? Bach says, I don't have a good cliffhanger. Court can be so interesting and funny. I want to see if there was anything else that I wanted to include here. Because, of course, there's always administrative things that happen within court. I see that there were some things that happened today. More than likely, we'll discuss this tomorrow if it plays out tomorrow. Because there's things that happen overnight. All these little different filings from each side and responses are really interesting. Okay, let me just see if there was anything else that I wanted to cover in regards to Dr. Yu's testimony. Okay, let's see. So they're back. Then the judge says, we'll pick up after Dr. Hughes. Please get her back on the stand. So she comes back on the stand. Dr. Hughes says, in a question. So they say this, the witness is entering. Then they said, Diddy's attorney says, you are with the American Psychological Association, which says you should only render an opinion after an examination, right? She responds, where? Dr. Hughes says, this is a different role. Again, they're trying to chip away at her credibility, saying that she cannot have a valid expert opinion on what's happening here in court. You have the attorney, Diddy's attorney says, you have not gathered information about this case, right? Dr. Yu says, I'm not rendering an opinion on any individual. Based on her answers, she's not. She's giving you standards of what they have seen in multiple, and when I say multiple, we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of abusive cases. So Dr. Yu says, I'm not rendering an opinion on any individual. Diddy's attorney says, there's someone named Cassie, but you don't know what she said, right? Dr. Yu says, I don't. Combs' attorney says, you testified across the river in the Eastern District of New York are different, correct? Oh, wait, right? And then Dr. Yu says, right. His attorney then says, and you say the same thing, even those cases are different, correct? Dr. Yu says, It's to help the jurors understand, which is what we've been talking about. Diddy's attorney says, but it's their job to consider their case, right? So now it's sort of like he's speaking to the jury through Dr. Hughes. The attorney then says, you don't publish data on patients you have evaluated, do you? Dr. Hughes says, it's confidential. Then the attorney says, so I can't cross-check your experience. So they're chipping away at her experience right now. The basis of what you're saying, right? Then Diddy's attorney says, people might go to a civil lawyer to make a little money, right? AUSA says, objection. Judge says, let's move on. Diddy's attorney says, in civil litigation, you might look for malingering, right? Then they say, you have a webinar about giving expert witness testimony, right? Dr. Yu says, yes, for battered women. Diddy's attorney says, let me show you DX. Then the judge has a sidebar. During the sidebar, exhibits from the Star Island raid, baby oil and Astroglide, which is what we've talked about and showed you before. The judge says, jurors, we're going to send you to the jury room for a bit. All right, so we're going to skip over that, and I'm going to go back to our summary of the day's events. But before we continue, I just want to remind you, if you're here this long, be sure to like the video. It's an easy and free way of supporting not just my channel, but other channels that are covering this case. You'll be surprised. You like this video, you might find some other individuals that are covering this case that will supplement some of the things that we're not talking about or that we're not covering. Or you might discover other things that these amazing content creators are doing. Because as you know, here we don't just talk about Sean Diddy Combs. We talk about everything in pop culture, including some reality TV news and reality TV recaps. As always, be sure to check out the Kempire podcast as well, because sometimes I add additional, especially this week. After I do this particular video, I end up seeing a lot more information, context, things that are helpful to our audience to get a better idea as to what we see playing out when it comes to the Sean Diddy Combs trial. So be sure to subscribe to the Kempire podcast today and do me a favor, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. And be sure to check out the description for everything Kempire, from our merchandise to our Cameo, if you want a personal message for me, or our live touring dates. We just announced that Washington, D.C. has been added to our summer tour. Atlanta, Philly, y'all wanted me to come back. I keep telling you, if Philly doesn't do what it's supposed to do, Philly will be off the list. Please understand. Just reminding you guys, these are important. All of you that want me to come to these other cities or nearby cities, it's important for these cities to do well in order for us to keep touring and keep doing what you love. And that is talking these hot topics in person, having a kiki, meeting with our community in person. So more information on the Kempire After Dark live show will be available in the description. Get your tickets today for Philly, Atlanta, Washington, D.C., and New York City, which has a special live stream option. So even if you can't make it to those other shows, the live stream option is available exclusively for the Kempire After Dark New York City show. More information, again, will be available in the description. So let's round out today's events of the Sean Diddy Combs trial. NBC News reports, they said the defense wants to minimize Hughes' impact by pointing out that she doesn't have detailed knowledge of this case and allegations made against Combs. Hughes appeared to agree with Combs' defense that she doesn't have the level of intimate knowledge and hasn't done an evaluation of the alleged abusers and victims because the witness wasn't asked to do so. And she wouldn't be. Earlier, during direct examination, prosecutors anticipated this line of questioning and asked Hughes why she hasn't interviewed the defendant and or witnesses here. Hughes told the court she wasn't legally allowed to do so. And remember, Dr. Hughes has been utilized in so many different cases, most recently the Johnny Depp case. We talked about the NXIVM case that she was involved in and many others. Okay. They remind us, they said the forensic psychologist testifying for the government has never before appeared for a criminal defendant, she said. Defense attorney Jonathan Bach asked Hughes if she ever represented anyone accused of a sex crime. She said she has not. That's correct. I don't evaluate offenders, Hughes said. Bach also asked Hughes if she is making $600 an hour for her work with prosecutors, which she confirmed. Moments later, under a prosecutor's questioning, Hughes recalled that she had been hired once before by a defense lawyer to evaluate a woman who shot her abusive husband. However, the psychologist said she didn't end up on the witness stand in that matter. So they were covering their bases there, saying that she has done it, but she hasn't necessarily gone on the witness stand like she has in these other multiple cases. Okay. All right. Moving on from there, because George Kaplan, as we mentioned earlier in this video, who's now been granted immunity, a former assistant to Sean Diddy Combs, George Kaplan was called to the witness stand by the government. Kaplan claims that Combs regularly threatened to fire him, with the rapper saying that he only wanted the best employees possible. Sidebar, because I did read Inner City Press covering some of what Kaplan was saying. He talked about picking up pills and drugs and things like that. When he mentioned illegal drugs, they did an objection to that. But he talked about that. So he was really covering himself because you're picking up illegal drugs. You're admitting to that under oath. So this is partly why he wanted immunity. So they say Kaplan claims that Combs regularly threatened to fire him, with the rapper saying he only wanted the best employees possible, sometimes in a motivational tone, sometimes in an angry tone. Combs also had a very exact demands that needed to be met when traveling, such as filling out a list of toiletries that needed to be packed for overnight, Kaplan said. Kaplan was also required to unpack the toiletries and arrange them so that they were all facing forward, which would regularly take 30 minutes, the witness said. So he had a little bit of OCD, did he? The other thing that I noticed in the raid, because we saw photos of the raid that happened in Miami, because we were talking about, for those that watch our Real Housewives of Atlanta stuff, and I was talking about Portia's home. Well, he makes Portia look like she is super duper organized, because the amount of bottles and different products and things like that on his bathroom counter, I was just like, oh my God. And you, mind you, this person has a staff that could organize all of this stuff. I'm just looking, I'm like, y'all need to, maybe I'm OCD, but I'm like, can y'all clear that? Clean that up. And I get it. Not every day can everything look pristine and clean and nothing's there. But I was like, oh my God. And I get it. This is also a raid. They're throwing things around, but this didn't look like they were throwing anything around. This looked like this is how it looks at his Miami mansion. Ew. Look ill. All right. So Kaplan testified that one of his duties was to clean hotel rooms for Combs, saying that the photos of checked out mess could be embarrassing and sold to tabloids, especially if they had a freak off. The former assistant said the rooms would often be littered with liquor bottles and baby oil. Oh my God. I think I'm really going to have a problem with baby oil after this. I don't own baby oil. And honestly, and typically I believe in like black households, there are a lot of bottles of baby oil, but not like this. But you get what I'm saying? Like there are, you would at least say, I have a bottle of baby oil in under my kitchen, under my bathroom sink. But this makes me like never, I don't want to even see baby oil again after this. The former assistant said the rooms would often be littered with liquor bottles and baby oil after Combs stayed in them. And on one occasion, he found the white powder near a sink. The witness also said that packing Combs' medicine bag, was always a lengthy challenge, with various pills, including Advil, Tylenol, and ketamine, always needed to be included. Mind you, Matthew Perry overdosed, right, on ketamine, or at least that's what was found in his system. We're not going to get to the conspiracy theories of it all. And learned in this trial that Diddy, at one particular point, according to Cassie, overdosed. Kaplan recalled once taking a delivery of MDMA to Combs in Miami. The jury was excused for the day and court will resume tomorrow with continued questioning of George Kaplan. A total of 5 witnesses will be called, including Scott Mascuti, a.k.a. Kid Cudi. So a lot of people were wondering if Kid Cudi would be testifying today. Apparently, they decided not to. We don't understand or what the reasons why he didn't take the stand today. But things happen. As you know, the judge is on a tight schedule. They really are trying to end the court day by 3 p.m., and again, I believe this is for the jury. The jury is covering this case. They're not sequestered. I'm sure if they were sequestered, it would be even earlier. But trying to get people home. And I can appreciate that. Anyway, guys, we're going to continue to follow this. As always, I want to know your thoughts and opinions on the day's events, day eight. I don't know. I might lose the days. If I mess up the days, if there are hums and ings, and I'm trying to edit these videos as much as possible, guys. But even I need as much time to unpack after the day's events, because again, you're getting like an hour and a half of content in regards to this, but I'm spending the day looking and reading and researching and contemplating. It's a lot. It's a lot. And that's why these weekends, I have to say this past weekend, I felt so tired. And I was like, it's probably just from the week events of doing what we're doing in regards to this. And shout out to all of the journalists and the bloggers that are out there and going on a daily basis. Again, I just can't imagine those of that are live all day doing. I can't imagine doing that. We will, in regards to maybe the sentencing. Oh, damn, not the sentencing. The verdict. Once we get to the verdict, then the sentencing. If that happens, I don't know. We've talked about this. We don't know what's going to happen. But the fact that I said that, maybe that was a Freudian slip or intuitive prediction. I don't know. I don't know. Guys, do me a favor, like the video, subscribe to the channel, turn on your notifications so you don't miss out. If you're not getting notified, turn them off, then turn them back on. Some of you said yesterday when we had our live chat premiere that the notifications were working. So I don't know. YouTube is a funny thing, but I'm always posting on X, on Blue Sky, on Threads when we're having the premiere of the video. And we always do a little bit of a live chat as well. So let's continue the conversation there. And shout out to the replay crew. I see you guys as well. Again, I'm not in the comment section like that. After I put this out, I'm like, I'm done. I'm done with it. Just because I need to unpack. I'm burning the sage and doing all the things. Matter of fact, I'm going to go sage out my house after this. Guys, as always, again, don't forget to like the video. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to subscribe to the Kempire podcast, because I have to work on the Club Kempire special episode this week as well. And that's where you're getting additional content and, of course, another recap of the Diddy trial. So be sure to check that out. And while you're there, don't forget to give us a 5-star rating. Thank you guys so much for watching and for listening. I'll see you on day 9.
Thanks for tuning in to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network. Don't forget to give the Kempire 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. And as always, for more information on everything Kempire Radio Network, head on over to KempireRadio.com.